Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, good morning. Welcome in. It's the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. Dan Lifshatz is here today. All right. Of course, we have a Celtics game tonight. Game four, you can be heard here on the Sports Hub. Between the Bucks and the Raptors, and the Clippers and Nuggets play later on tonight as well. We'll certainly get into those games, but we do have to recap what happened last night in the NBA. I think the I guess the question I'd ask, Dan, and I already know the answer. And for about a few days now, I've been very critical of Giannis Antetokounmpo for the simple fact that he doesn't take the type of heat that a LeBron James would. So, for example, if I throw out this question, who had a worse night last night, LeBron James or Giannis?
Giannis.
Okay, see?
Easily.
And I agree with you based off, like, all the, you know, implications and things of that degree. But, like, both number one teams lost to lower seeds.
Yeah. Feel-out game for the Lakers after having a good amount of time off. Like, remember how long – I know they lost game one to the Blazers, but remember how long they've been off. Houston, despite the fact that, you know, they just had a grueling game seven, it didn't feel like they were mentally tired. Like, it felt like the Nuggets after that seven-game series, Joe, were just almost defeated. They felt like, you know, you saw Jamal Murray get off the court. He was just, like, dead. He couldn't even find the words. He was so tired. So it just felt like after that series was so mentally and physically draining for the Nuggets. It didn't feel like that for Houston. It felt like that they still had plenty of gas left in the tank. They've made this run before. You know, maybe it was with Harden and you know, Harden and Westbrook, but it was, you know, Harden and Paul. So I wasn't really that concerned about going into game one. Was Houston be ready? I thought that, and again, you suck because I played Houston second half. I thought Houston had a good chance to win that game. I wasn't really shocked by that at all. First game, LeBron James always calls it a feel-out game. I agree with that. I think that the Lakers played very tight with them into the third quarter, and I think that we'll see going forward, they'll change some things defensively. They'll probably try and get Deion Waiters involved offensively because they need some more shooting, obviously, with the amount of threes that the Rockets take. And so, you know, I think the Lakers are still going to be okay. You're still going to win the series in six or seven games, in my opinion.
So looking at the Bucks, okay, and then looking at it from a betting angle, the Bucks minus five last night. The under hit again. The under hit in both games last night. And it got a little dicey there with so many fouls down the stretch. I was wondering what was going to happen there. The Bucks minus five I thought was the right side yesterday. But they have a 10-point lead.
And yeah, 7-point lead at half?
7-point lead at the half.
Spread was a half.
They had a lead in the fourth quarter. And I don't know what happened.
And then were they up 11 going into the fourth quarter? Up 13? Something like that.
Did Jimmy Butler take over? Did they just start jacking up threes and they couldn't hit them? Did Giannis didn't hit one. He went 0 for 7 from three.
It's a combination of everything there. I mean, it really is. I think they went 0 for 17 from three in their final 17 three-point attempts. Giannis, excuse my language, looks frail. He doesn't have the mentality to win. And that's disappointing, pathetic, however you want to talk about it. I talked about this. We had Whale Capper in here months ago, pre-COVID, and I said to both of you guys in this seat, the Bucks are not as good as you guys think they are. And you guys sat there and you laughed at me and said,
I thought the bench was good.
Okay. And then after COVID, you and I came in here and I talked about how the Celtics bench was better than the Bucks bench. And I got blowback from you guys on Twitter. I got blowback from not really you, but for mostly from Twitter and other people on the station.
Let's be honest. Okay. It's okay to take your victory lap.
I just want to say, you guys, not you. This is not directed towards you. Where the hell are you now?
Yeah, the Blazers people last week, right?
The Blazers people last week.
This week is
nothing here.
It's the Milwaukee people.
I mean, listen, and I'm definitely wrong about a lot of things, okay? I own them. Like Patrick Mahomes, hell was I wrong. There's plenty of stuff I'm wrong about, but at least own it. At least own it. I got crucified by Bucks Twitter. Bucks Twitter for saying that I thought the Miami Heat, 76ers, and Celtics could compete and are better than the Bucks. Now, the Sixers fell apart down the stretch, and they ran into the Celtics. Okay? I think they at least want to give Milwaukee a shot. Okay? The Celtics, who I still think are the fourth-best team in the East, look like the second or first-best team in the East, and Miami, who I told you is the team that I was most scared of for the Bucks, are ruining them. Physically, mentally, everything. Jimmy Butler and Andre Iguodala, who I told you was going to be the most important player in the series, they're literally destroying them. Jimmy Butler went off in the fourth quarter. Giannis played like half the quarter. Like Mike Budenholzer, that was a must-win game. Your superstar players plays 28, 30 minutes, whatever it was.
And he's on the bench while you're going on a run. You know, you're going on a run there in the fourth quarter. So getting back to that Bucks bench conversation, though, just looking at what they did last night, Marvin Williams, 2 points. Greg, the kid Hill, George Hill, was like literally giving them important baskets late in the game, and that was sad.
George Hill is a good player.
No, he is. But what I'm saying is he's the one giving them the baskets.
Who on that bench is any good?
I mean, you thought DiVincenzo was decent.
No, I hate DiVincenzo. I've always hated
him. I mean, Kyle Korver should be a sharpshooter, and he's done nothing for you.
He got one shot last
night. No. Looking at the bench, Dan, it doesn't look good.
Connington, people were talking about being an all-star earlier a couple years. It was an all-star like a year or two ago. Garbage. Didn't even get in the game.
But not for nothing. I mean, if you look at what's going on the Heat bench, yeah, Tyler Herro, 13 points. He looks good. And Iguodala makes an impact. Had a big three last night with his 6 points. But overall, Nunn's been bad in the series. And Jones gave you a couple of threes last night. And Miles Leonard had to play. And Kelly Olynyk did not play.
Well, their bench got shortened last night. Crowder's usually off the bench there.
So if we're comparing the benches of who's still available, you know, the Celtics have gotten contributions from both Williams, which is surprising. I didn't think Robert Williams would be doing what he was doing. And you did. I've always thought that he could shoot a little bit more than he has, which he has.
He's a much better shooter.
I just didn't think he'd be the first option off the bench over Enes Kanter, and that's been the difference in the series, if you ask me.
Kanter, I mean, the problem with Kanter is he just can't defend anyone.
Yeah, the pick and roll, he it's funny, he scores, but then he gives it up on the other end.
Yes.
You know,
he's almost... Like if he doesn't give you something offensively in almost every possession, if he's not touching the ball, he's almost a net negative.
So last night was just terrible to watch. If you were watching that Heat Bucks game, you watched the Bucks implode. We actually have it on in the studio right now, and you know that fourth quarter. If we'll look at it here,
they led by 13 into the fourth quarter. They had won 68 straight games according to ESPN. 68 straight games when they led by 12 more in the fourth quarter.
Now, Dragic has really turned it on for the Heat. Jay Crowder was hitting big shots last night. But, dude, they were just jacking up threes, missing them. And, again, they went on that run with Giannis on the bench, which I could not believe. Bam Adebayo has been outstanding, and I think he's going to get a huge contract from somebody.
He's going to get re-signed in Miami, and he should. He is an elite young player. Now, offensively, his game still is a little bit of a ways to go.
He's young.
Yep. But defensively, I mean, he has really done a terrific job on Giannis. Like, you can't argue the results. And look, Giannis is going to get his from time to time, but I mean, my God, 21 points.
So looking at the two teams, both games went under the total last night. I do kind of like the Lakers game. They didn't get close, and the Lakers late in the game, just they didn't have it. But when I look at both teams though, like, I don't know, I look at tonight's games and I say, can those both go under? I mean, Toronto plays really good defense, and the Celtics does too. And the Celtics do too. And then obviously the Clippers and Nuggets, that's probably bound to go over at some point because both those teams can score. It's just, you mentioned that Denver looked tired. I think the Bucks are absolutely toast, and I'm curious about the future of Giannis. I really am.
Do you think they win game four, or do you think that this is over? Because they gave Scott Foster in that game last night, and early on, they had Iguodala, Adebayo, and
Butler, right?
And Butler with three fouls early on. But after that was the second quarter. After that, I felt like the refs made zero impact in the game. Zero. I didn't think Foster did anything to help the Bucks. I wonder if we get a fix it or you're fired type situation in game four. I mean, really, like, this is, you're going to go in with your number one. This is supposed to be the guy who's going to take over the league.
Dan, you can't put money on the Bucks right now.
You can't. But man, if this goes down and it's a 3-1 gentleman sweep, okay, or 4-1 gentleman sweep, at least it looks better. If you're Giannis Antetokounmpo, you're supposed to be the next face of this league, and you get swept in the second round by the Miami Heat, a lower seed. I don't know. I think your legacy's over.
Just real quick.
Over.
With everything happening with the salary cap and COVID and everything, he has 1 year left on his deal, and he's probably going to walk. I think he's going to walk.
Yeah, the rumor is Toronto or the team he's playing against, Miami.
Okay. Would you make a deal now if you were the Bucks?
If you get swept, I don't think you have a choice.
Yeah, me too. I think, and I don't think anyone else wants to go there and play with him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's the type of guy, oh, I want to go to Milwaukee and play with him.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, does he make anybody else truly better?
Yeah, I think he does. I think he does if there's a real commitment by him to drive the lane.
Yeah, and not shoot outside shots.
Yeah, I mean, like, every single time he shoots, you know what's going to... Even if he makes it, okay.
It's like, yeah, we'll give you that
shot. Yeah, one of six, fine. You know, like, you know. If he's settling for threes, then you know you've already won defensively on him.
See, I don't know how much he makes guys better. Like, Middleton, I think, can create 18 points a game on his own. Lopez has improved. And maybe having him around, it's made him better. But, like, Eric Bledsoe is still the same guy. Wesley Matthews is still just a shooter.
Bledsoe in the playoffs is a thing, by the way.
Brogdon's hurt them. I mean, the fact they moved on from Brogdon over him.
Yep. That was one of my big things, too, is, like, you lose so much guard depth without Brogdon. Like, just match the stupid RFA offer. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Brutal by the Bucks to do that. And then...
you mentioned the next game, though. Miami has to be favored.
They are.
Right?
They open as one and a half point favorites.
I probably wouldn't touch a side, but I think it would go over. I think it'll go over just for the simple fact the Bucks have to stay in it. If they win, they win. But I think this thing's over. I mean, at one point, Dan, I've been saying to myself, why don't we just get right to it? Heat and Celtics and Lakers and Clippers. Like, let's just advance. But, you know, here we go. The Raptors hit a big shot that was very questionable at the end of the game there. And I put that on the coach.
I've watched it like 40 times. And again, he absolutely got it off.
The pass was better than the shot. I think what Kyle Lowry throwing over a 7'6" guy to get it into the corner like that to a guy who's wide open.
It landed to him perfectly. The pass was amazing. The shot was to get off a shot like that. Again, now he was getting closed down. To get off a shot like that without moving much or bending much and being able to just
go
up and down.
Or going out of bounds or anything.
Like, dude, it's really tough to do what Ananobi did.
I don't blame Jaylen Brown. He took the heat off it. He, you know, you're in a zone.
No, that's on Brad Stevens.
Someone got, you know, he tried to cover, help Tice on defense, and I just, again, I hate the idea of going to a zone in that situation.
It doesn't work.
They've been beat on it at least twice that I know of.
They got beat on it against the Bucks like a couple years ago. We were talking about that pre-show. Yeah. Like, they need to stop trying to go to the zone in these situations and just play man, because maybe other teams you need to go to zone, Joe, because you don't have the defenders to match up. The Celtics do. Like, they have the defenders to match up. So I don't know why everyone is so concerned with this, because they have the guys to do it.
So let's take a quick break here. We got a lot going on today. It's actually the first Saturday of college football,
and we haven't even talked a minute.
Is this week zero?
I think we should consider it week zero.
Is it week zero? Okay.
I think we should, because there's like three FCS games today, and they're all important, which is weird. So I'd say week zero.
It's college football today. We have a game 7 in the NHL, 2 NBA games today as well, and the Kentucky Derby.
That was like a
half-ass. You're probably having a party today, Tracy? Having a Kentucky Derby day, wearing your hat? Yeah? No, you're fired up for it?
The only hat I'm wearing is baseball one.
We all fired up for the Derby today? We'll have a pick for that later on here on the show. If you want to call in and talk about any of this basketball stuff and college football today, if anyone's getting nuggets, feel free to share them. 617-779-0985. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
Over-Under Show. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, the DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifschitz. Just wanted to get a couple of these games out of the way quickly. Tonight, Celtics-Raptors. It is game 4. And I was surprised to see the Raptors -1.5, -1.
I'm not. I mean, this is what Vegas has been doing the entire series. They're consistently sticking with the teams and the same similar spreads until elimination games. And then they're switching it up a little bit.
So the only trend I'll give you on this game that I have here is, there's two. The under's 5-0 in the series and the last 5 meetings. The Raptors are 0-4 against the spread in the last 4 meetings. And granted, the Celtics covered on a last second shot. What were they, +2, +2.5 on that one?
2.5.
And the So overall, the Celtics have the advantage when it comes to the against the spread, and the under has been the play. So do you favor a side in this game, or do you continue to see defense?
I got to be honest with you. If I'm going to play this, I'm probably going to play it live or a second half play. All the Celtics fans listening are going to take the Celtics. We know that. That's not a surprise. That's nothing abnormal for Celtics fans, but. What I will say is, how do you respond? How do you respond from that loss? Do you come out ready to play? Are you going to wilt? Like, are you going to let that shot get to you? From what it seemed like after the game, it didn't sound like to me that they were going to wilt. It didn't seem like they were just going to, collapse and lose in 6 games. Like, I don't think the Celtics are that mentally, are that team. So I'm interested to see what happens today. I have no interest in playing this pregame. Nothing. No interest whatsoever. I think if you do, you're either playing it because, A, you're a fan of that team, or, B, you're banking on the Celtics to lose. I think those are your two angles in this game. Either you're betting the Celtics because you're a fan and you're biased and you probably shouldn't be betting, or you're betting on the Raptors because you think the Celtics are going to completely collapse. Mm. I don't think either of them are smart.
214 just looks low to me.
It is.
It's been 217.
Yep.
It just looks low.
But it got down to 215.5 last game.
But again, the unders have been hot. And both unders hit last night, so I hate to take an under 3 games in a row.
When the total goes lower from where it has been, I usually like to look at the under in that situation, especially in a consistent matchup like this.
Clippers-Denver, I just think the Clippers are going to run away with the series. I think Denver's tired, like you said. And the under has been strong in that series, too, as far as the trends go. Right now, that one's at 222.5.
I think over.
Okay. I actually lean that way too.
Bouncing back after, you know, game one, I would expect Denver to actually play. I mean, they at least they scored in the first half. The second half, it felt like they weren't even non-existent. Jokic barely looked like he could move. I think a day off, a nice day of reset. In a late game tonight, I think I would feel better about being a Nuggets backer or an over backer tonight, because I think they'll actually show up to play tonight.
Game 7 in the NHL, Islanders Flyers. The Game 7, I know you've liked the Islanders all along.
I have liked the Islanders all along, but they're pulling the same thing, man.
They're favored.
They are favored, as they should be. Now, the favorite. Now you had the Avs in the series.
Out.
They blew it. They forced the Game 7 and then blew it in OT. The Golden Knights win in regulation on after Thatcher Demko, the goalie for Vancouver, was just incredible this series. So if you didn't see him, that kid's a stud. Again, another game I have no interest in betting. None. Zero.
Total's 5.
Yeah, I would lean under in a Game 7 playoff game.
Yeah.
Where these two teams probably play better defense than I would lean under. But I don't want to play it. I don't want to touch it. I want nothing to do with these games.
All right, we got college football begins today. Let's take a quick call before we get to that. Jim's in the car. What's going on, Jim? You're on the Sports Hub.
Hey, what's up, boys? Love the show. Just real quick, I got a 20-1 ticket on the Celtics to win the championship, and I want to know you guys' thoughts on my hedging possibilities.
Prop swap.
Okay.
Go to prop swap. So first off, you can sell it.
I think, honestly, if you probably have to wait for the series to be over to hedge it. Okay. If you want to hedge out, you can hedge out for 4-1 or 5-1, and then you can do 4-1 to 5-1 next series.
It's 5-1 right now.
Then you're looking at a 5-1 ticket in the championship, which is probably what they're going to open at. So, you know, I don't feel great about hedging off it either way.
Oh, I'd let it ride right now.
Yeah, I think
just let that bad boy ride, like, and then when you get into the Eastern Conference Final, if you get there,
if you want to hedge off for your initial investment, like, okay, but yeah, I think Joe's right. I think you let it ride.
I'd let it ride now, and then what happens if you're going to get eliminated or you have a chance to move on? You can still hedge it in the championship or the finals.
Yeah, again, I think that if you want to hedge off your initial investment, okay, but you should start hedging off in the Eastern Conference Finals if they make it.
The only reason why I mentioned Prop Swap to go there, they're one of the sponsors of our station, but if you have tickets like that, people might want to buy them from you. So you get something out of it instead of just, like, waiting to see if your ticket hits.
True, but to be fair, your prop swap ticket has to be worth X amount. And,
yeah,
you know.
Who knows what they've
bought that for. Not to mention that, you know, 20-1 is really not that great of a ticket on Boston.
All right, Dan, it's week 0 of college football. We got Mid-Tennessee State at Army. That's pretty much the first game today. Then we have SMU Texas State. I know people are just riveted by these teams. Arkansas State at Memphis.
That's probably the best game of the day.
And then we late night, it's UTEP and SF Austin.
We also have Eastern Kentucky Marshall at 1 o'clock and Houston Baptist North Texas at 7:30.
So,
I mean, there are a few games, a bunch of FCS games.
I have a bone to pick. There were two games on Thursday night, and I took the second half of the UAB Central Arkansas game.
Okay, now let me first start by saying I agreed with your boys, and I like them.
I took UAB -10 in the under of 24.5. The total went all over the place. UAB kicks a field goal, scores a touchdown, scores another touchdown. So it's 17-0 at half. And then here comes Central Arkansas. They score a touchdown. And then
for the cover.
UAB is just, you know, killing the clock. You know, 3 minutes to go. Da-da-da-da-da. They punt it away. Central Arkansas has the bus running. All of a sudden, Central Arkansas is just running the ball to kill the clock and go home. And they get it to about the 40-yard line. And then there's a face mask penalty.
I think it was, 35 or something like that.
And then they're all of a sudden, they're like within the red zone. And they're like, oh, you know what? We just throw it now. and they threw it for a touchdown, and the game ended. So you lost the minus 10, you lost the under, and you went 0-2. And then you thought that Southern Mississippi would, you know.
Okay, I hated this play of yours. I didn't get it. South Alabama was dominating. Well,
so here's the deal. Here's what happened. South Alabama struggled a little bit in the late second half.
No, they didn't. They were running the ball all through Southern Mississippi.
The big problem was they kept throwing it up to that dude who just kept catching the ball all game.
Well, because Southern Miss didn't throw the ball. Jack Abraham is a better quarterback, and they didn't throw damn ball.
It was 17-13 to the second half. I missed it by 3 points. Okay. I lost. I'll take I went 0-3. All right.
So the second half was 19-11.
What was I reading here?
I don't know. But, dude, Southern Miss is – South Alabama is really good.
Frank Gore Jr. out.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's why you bet.
Frank Gore Jr.'s kid out.
He was pretty good. He got hurt.
Southern Alabama.
Dude, they,
I know.
Their offensive line was dominating up front.
Actually, their quarterback was actually pretty decent.
Well, yeah, he's the kid that they went like 2-0 with at the end of the year.
Southern Miss missed a field goal. When I saw that stupid missed field goal, I was like, they suck. I was like watching them. By the way, not to get all crazy, but did you see how many fans were in the stands?
There were a good amount of people.
COVID, what? They were everywhere. It was just fans on top, cheerleaders. It was like, for a minute, I was like, this is like Varsity Blues, normal stuff.
I didn't understand why they wouldn't separate the fans out. Like, at least if you're going to have fans, separate them out, right?
I mean, if they're going to do it, like, do it right. It was like there was no issue at all. Everyone's just hanging out there.
Yeah, I mean, things are a little different.
All right, so I know you've given out a play on our players card for the Mid-Tennessee Army game. That one's going to be heavily bet. That's going to be
I think Mid-Tennessee Army and Arkansas State Memphis are the two best games.
So I love Memphis, personally. I love what Memphis does. I love their quarterback. Now, they're a team that I would bet on heavily. Memphis in the over is like a thing. It's like a thing in college football. They struggle to cover late in games against good teams. Would I consider Arkansas State in that good team category?
I would. They've been consistently made bowls in, I think, 7 straight years.
I hear you. And that's where it comes down to here. Now, Arkansas State is 13 starters returning.
To be fair, they have 4 or 5 offensive linemen returning. Their 2 starting quarterbacks last year, who Lane Hatcher and Logan Bonner, who both played last year. And I think 2 running backs, like, they're returning essentially almost all their offense. And their defense last year.
Yeah, they went 8-5 last year.
Was 124th in the country out of 130th. So no matter how bad, no matter who you replaced, they were horrible in the first place.
Yeah, and they beat Florida International in the whatever bowl, Camellia. They've gone to 9 straight bowls. 75 wins in whatever that span. That's pretty good.
They're good. They're like a really good, not talked about team.
Playing at Memphis today, who has one of the best quarterbacks in the country. It's gone from 19 to 18.
It opened at 16, went to 22.
Total opened at 68. It's now at 74.
Yeah, it's going to keep being banged up. I bet you by game time, it's probably 76 or 78. I'm going under.
Under.
Yeah, under.
The way I've watched these teams start so far this year, I'll give you that. Should we lock it up?
Yep, let's do it.
PP, under Memphis, Arkansas State.
Yep.
That's your first play of the day. We'll look at a couple of the others here. It's college football. It's back, baby. And don't forget the Kentucky Derby.
That's the COVID. That's
the Derby Day. Oh, yeah.
I also got a play for you in one of these FCS games, so I'll give that.
Oh, yeah. All right, more plays on the DraftKings Over-Under Show coming up next.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, it's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. College football's back. I think game day's on today at 9 o'clock. I call out her Kirk Herbstreit. He said there'd be no college football this year. Ha, ha.
F you, Kirk.
I love college football. It's actually my favorite sport. It's actually, all right. So, you know, we bet on everything. Like, you know, you do Korean soccer and I'll bet on hot dogs. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's how it works.
Yeah.
College football, I feel, even the other night, I don't know what it is. Like, I have a feel for it. You don't always win. You're not always on the right side. But at least you watch a pace of a game and it's like, yeah, this thing's going over. Or like, you know, for example, the Southern Alabama play. Southern Alabama was plus 7.5, right? I saw so many people.
14.
Oh, 14 half, sorry.
Was that first half or second half?
First half. Was it four? No, yeah, first half. I saw so many people, plus 7, South Alabama first half. It was like, I couldn't believe how many people I saw. Like, people on Twitter, you know, making these plays. So I'm like, okay. And then they hit, it's 13-10, and I'm like, yeah, all right. And in my head, I'm like, I don't know, man. And I just got one of those, like, I feel like Southern Miss isn't going to cover, but it's going to win the game. And I was wrong. I just got a bad feel for it.
The
UAB game, I was the right side.
UAB got screwed.
By the way, Central Arkansas scored a touchdown, and they bobbled the ball and never reviewed it. How did they even let that thing go?
I thought it was a touchdown.
Get out of here.
But I agree. I agree. They probably should have. They didn't even, like, you didn't really even see a replay. You saw, like, one replay. It's like, can we just see it? Like, I know it doesn't matter for the game purposes, but, like, bettors care.
Okay. So. Mid-Tennessee Army today. Army's going to run.
Well, yeah. So they're
run.
They're starting Christian Anderson. They're going, obviously, they continue the triple option. They were the third best rushing team in college football last year, and they were a top 30 defense. And they're returning a large amount of players on the defensive side of the football. New quarterback, new running backs. I think they're returning 3 of their 5 offensive linemen. So they're basically pulling a reset offensively, right? Middle Tennessee returns their starting quarterback, Asher O'Hara. We talked about him the other night, Joe. Kid ran for like 1,100 yards, passed for like 3,000 yards. Kid can do it all. I think he's heavily overrated. I think he got a whole bunch of his, you know, his accumulation of stats and garbage time. Not a big fan. I think he's heavily overrated. Middle Tennessee, 118th in the country in total defense last year. So not a good defensive team. Lost almost all of their main defensive players, and they haven't been very good anyways. I expect Middle Tennessee to try and move the ball early. I think Army defensively is going to be very tough. I think we're going to see a new Army offense that will struggle a little bit versus a bad defense and a better Middle Tennessee offense versus a very good defense. I definitely lean the under, as I said on the DraftKings minute the other day. And I like Army as well. I do. I think that Army is going to cover the 3. Middle Tennessee, listen, Army opened at 5.5 for a reason, I think. I think that is, they probably win by a touchdown. And I think Middle Tennessee, while I like them, they really had a bad year last year after like a large run of good years. And so I think they're probably still going to start slow.
All right, one thing I read, you mentioned O'Hara's back. Like, I don't think the Army defense is good. They gave up a ton of points last year.
They were 30th in the country.
But they gave up points, though.
Yeah, but because it was mostly because they went to overtime, I think, 4 or 5 times. But in terms of total defense, 30th in the country.
Mid-Tennessee State, 4-1 against the spread in their last 5 games as an underdog.
I mean, that's great, but it doesn't really matter if it's last year because you're returning a whole new slew of guys, right?
It's true. Just throwing the trend out there.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet Army in that first game last year against Rice. It bit me in the ass, man.
I remember that one. When I think Rice won like 14-7.
No, Army won. Rice covered, though.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, you're right. I do feel pretty good about the under and Army on this one. I'm not locking it up, not PPing it, but if I had to make a play, I'd go Army. And I like the under on that one as well.
All right. So you heard Dan's pick on that one. I personally don't like that game. I'm not gonna touch it. But I do think the kid O'Hara is pretty good. And I think he's gonna throw the ball a lot.
He wasn't a good passer last year.
Here's another game that's on today. Adam's in Nashville. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, what's going on, brother?
How you doing, bud?
Good, man. Got a couple locks for the weekend.
Okay.
I'm telling you. I'm on a 55% win rate over a small sample. I got SMU with the spread, and I got – that's all I got.
So Shane Bouchel in SMU?
Yeah, I'm going to take it. First half looking good. I mean, they have this. They have the coach. They have the talent. That might be the game where you have to just put the money on the line.
Adam.
I might put a G on it.
Adam, who's SMU's coach?
Michael. I don't know.
No, it's Sonny Dykes.
Adam. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it, bud. Okay, so that is by far the squarest play on the board.
Oh, no, by far.
No doubt about it. Yeah, if you're going to call it and say your lock of the week is SMU, I'm going to laugh. Now, listen, I gave out some plays on the SMU-Texas State game on the podcast. That line has already moved pretty heavily. We're at SMU now minus 23.5. We'll probably see by 24 by kickoff, I would assume. Texas State's quarterback last year, Tyler Vitt, got quarantined. He's not playing. Now, they did get a transfer from Memphis, who I think was going to be the quarterback anyways, and Brady McBride. From what I've heard about McBride in the spring practices, I don't really love what I'm hearing. So I'm going to, you know, I liked SMU first half. The line's pretty much moved. I also took the team total first half. For those who didn't listen to the podcast, the line's gone. So if you listen to the podcast, if you got it, if you didn't, it's gone.
Well, the line opened at 63, the total. It's now at 69.
Yeah.
So I actually liked it when it was 63 at the over.
Yeah.
Don't know if I like it at 69.
Especially if SMU is blowing them out. I doubt that.
I've watched this every year. SMU will blow teams out. They'll get to 40 points.
And then they'll take Bouchel.
Because they're going to think about the next week.
Yeah.
Bouchel, if you guys remember, he played at Texas.
He was the Texas transfer, yeah.
And obviously, he transferred out, went to SMU, and now they have Ellinger as their quarterback, but SMU does this.
They chose
constantly.
The wrong guy, by the way.
Oh yeah,
just saying.
Well, Bouchel's pretty good. Ellinger's a big kid.
Bouchel's going to be an NFL draft pick.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
we'll see if Ellinger will be. If Texas can have a big year, we'll wrap up this show here on the other side with more picks, and let's not forget the Kentucky Derby is today. We'll talk about that coming up next here on the Sports Hub.
The DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. We got picks for the FCS, Dan?
Yep. So let me, we'll start here. Marshall takes on Eastern Kentucky today. Marshall returning a large portion of
its roster.
You
get that quarterback back?
Grant Wells is going to be their starting quarterback for Marshall. I'm a big fan of Grant Wells and Marshall. Eastern Kentucky getting a lot of the public bet, despite the fact that we don't know who their quarterback is going to be. Not yet, at least.
What's the line? I don't see a line.
Yeah, we don't know if it's going to be Parker McKinney Parker McKinney or Dakota Allen starting for them. The line in this one is 23.5.
Oof.
So, yeah.
So they have to win by 3 touchdowns or more. More than 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
I don't like that.
No, I don't love it either. I am going to take the team total on Marshall. And I'm trying to find the actual team total because we are blocked everywhere.
Who do you like?
But yeah, give me the Marshall team total. Ooh, PP. Okay.
What's the other FCS game today?
There's two more. We also have Stephen F. Austin versus UTEP and Houston Baptist versus North Texas. North Texas, as you know, lost Mason Fine. He was a really, really good quarterback, so they are replacing him. I believe that they have not announced a starter either with Austin Oon or Jason Bean. Oon was the former Yankees prospect. Kid's like 26 or 27 at this point. And he is a former Yankees baseball prospect. Jason Bean is the sophomore from Mansfield, Texas. I like him a little bit better than Oon. Those late guys never really go well, like the Brandon Whedons and stuff. But not big fans of them. Houston Baptist returns their quarterback. He is Bailey Zappe. He actually was really good in the FCS last year. So, you know, that is an interesting game. Probably nothing there. And then if you're looking at the Stephen F. Austin UTEP game, Trey Self is the returning quarterback for Stephen F. Austin. UTEP, obviously, Joe, we know how terrible they have been in the past few years. They are starting Gavin Hardison. I know very little about Hardison, but I'll tell you about the Stephen F. Austin quarterback, Trey Self. Very hyped. I think very overrated. I would look at maybe a team total under for Stephen F. Austin. I don't like the quarterback.
Okay. All right. Kentucky Derby pick. It's Tis the Law and it's nobody else. He's the square play. He's the favorite. It's going to win. But what's the trifecta? Dan, I'm going back to the well. I'm going Tis the Law. I'm going back to Sol Vellante, who didn't win the Preakness. And I'm going to give you Honor AP and Authentic. So my trifecta would be Tis the Law, Sol Vellante, and Honor AP and or Authentic. Okay? So you put either one of those two in there in the end. And if I had to take a long shot, just one that could win or place, it's Money Moves. And again, the whole thing is messed up this year. That's 14-1 Money Moves. The whole thing's messed up.
Money Moves is 50-1.
Okay, whatever. Derby's first, and then now it's last. If you're not first, you're last. And it's one of those years, man.
Yeah.
It's one of those years.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think Tis the Law loses today.
Good. Fine. I don't think there's another horse that's better than that horse.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't know a ton. Sol Vellante was our pick, I think, in the Preakness, right? I honestly can't remember.
After Tis the Law.
I think Tis the Law will lose.
It's too difficult to try to cap these races when they weren't in the right order this year.
Yeah, so. Especially with the way that everything is. There's a lot of weird stuff. Money Moves is the horse I'm going to take a long shot on.
All right. I'm in on that, too. And then finally, I see Gabe on the line. Hi, Gabe. What's your UFC pick?
What's up, guys? Real quick, it's Fabianowski and Menenfield. You can do it straight up. They're not heavy favorites. You could put it together if you want. No. And then for the main event, I'm liking Overeem as the in the main event. He's the old veteran. I think he gets it done with the newcomer trying to get into the top 10.
Thanks, Gabe. I had Overeem in the last fight, and he snuck out a victory. I don't know if I'd do that again.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. We actually went through the parlays don't work, Gabe. The two teamers, not very profitable. And the four. Now listen, I like Gabe, and he continues to hit. So if you want to listen, go ahead. Just don't do a four teamer, please. They don't work. They don't.
Anything else, Dan? Before we get out of here,
I got nothing for you. I think we talked about the NBA.
We'll do a podcast this week to break down the NFL.
Yep.
NFL starts Thursday night.
Yep. We will do maybe.
I'm hoping it's Tuesday night because I'm not available Wednesday. We'll talk about it in five minutes.
Yeah, we can do Tuesday.
All right. And then I know the FedEx Cup underway. Big matches. Hardy, I believe. The golf club is the golf club with Hardy.
Yeah.
The golf show.
Something about I think maybe Hardy will finally admit that Tiger Woods sucks this week. It took a long time. Maybe.
Oh
no, it's the hockey show.
What happened? Ryan Johnston. He's been sitting next to us. I've been talking to him off the air for 10 minutes. And what, I thought you were going to do a damn golf show?
No, it's Ryan doing a hockey show.
Hey, Ryan, do you want to talk to us about a Game 7 tonight or no? Because there's a Islanders-Flyers game that's happening, and Dan's been riding the Islanders, and now he's afraid, I think.
I'd be afraid, too. Like, they're letting this series get away from him. Philly was on the ropes. It's been a weird series because I thought the Flyers were rolling, and they just don't have it. I thought they were going to be a legitimate challenger to Tampa if they won the series. I don't think that anymore.
The Islanders look defeated, dude. Like they it looks like they just lost some steam and they look defeated. I'd still favor them tonight, Ryan, but I don't feel confident in that play whatsoever. And again, we talked about this a little off air. If I'm a Bruins fan, I'm done. I'm blowing it up. Yeah. I'm trading Patrice Bergeron. I'm trading Brad Marchand. I'm trading Tuukka Rask. I'm blowing it up because you know what? Your team isn't good enough. Sorry. We've now seen it since 2011. Your core isn't good enough. They're not winning anything. Move on.
Core isn't the problem. Everybody below the core is a problem.
I get it.
You have the best line in hockey. You can keep that together. The problem is you have nothing beyond that. You have a couple of guys who can play defense, but they've got to figure out. I mean, this is like 5 years going on now that they haven't had a second line that they can put out there.
You got to trade those guys. You got to trade those guys to get something back. The only way you're going to get better is if you get younger, because if you have nothing right now, Ryan, and you're trying to win with Patrice Bergeron, if you have nothing behind him, you're not winning. So what's the point of having him? To play house? To be nice? Oh, I love Patrice Bergeron. I want him to retire at Bruin. Who gives a crap? Trade him. Because if you're not going to win now, I'd rather get something for him while he's valuable.
There are plenty of trade pieces without giving up the franchise player.
We will listen to this on the way home. I have one question. I need you to answer it on the when you're doing your show. Is Don Sweeney the guy to put this thing back together and make it a
good
chance?
Question. I'll let Ryan answer that.
So we'll hear that one. I'll set you up on that one. Nice little fastball. Ryan Johnston's next, not golf. And then the hockey show, the final hockey show of the year.
Hockey show at 9. We'll have the crew with us.
Post-mortem. Oh, God. Man, all these great game sevens that are happening, and Anton Khudobin is going to the finals. Woof. Anyways, all right, he's Dan Lifshitz. I'm Joe Murray. Thanks, Tracy. Ryan Johnston, he's next here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics and Raptors play game 4 tonight. Of course, the Raptors got that game-winning three-point shot from OG Anunoby to make it a 2-1 series. We have all the coverage.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.